Good?
You are ready to go.
All right. I'd like to welcome everybody to the February 27th Select Board meeting. Would you all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Good. Roll call.
Russ.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian. And Patrick had to leave. All right. First of all, approve the February 13th minutes.
I move to accept the minutes of February 13th as submitted.
Yeah, I'll second that.
All right, no discussion, no changes.
The public hearing.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Are we doing keynote first?
Yep.
No, I did that first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to see that.
Now, I just want to make an announcement that we are having a public hearing on the 27th. Not the 27th, that's, yeah, it is.
Tonight, yep.
On the keynote.
Public input.
We did put that warrant article in, but we are required to have a public hearing. So if you'd like to, we'll have that public hearing open at 7:42.
6:46.
6:42. See, I'm still on the 7 o'clock time. All right, the board has had their input at the last meeting. Was there any additional comments or questions or anything?
Somebody had asked me how, what, I know the gentleman that was here said that how much went to the schools.
From the state, yeah.
From the state. You know, of course, it sounded like a considerable amount of what's collected is, goes to the school, so I'm not going to put any.
It goes into the same educational fund that all the others go into.
Right, yeah.
Anybody in the public have any comments or input? Seeing none? I guess we can close the meeting at 6:43.
Good, okay.
All right, and we were missing the fire department's report last meeting. Do you have that, Boyd, now?
I've got an email here from Mike Kelly. So far, we made 71 calls in order to determine how much we made. So that would be for the month of January. I don't know what we have. This is dated February 14th. I don't know how many we made the month of February. So until I get that information, I can't give you an accurate number for the month of January.
But it certainly was more than what was reflected at the last meeting.
That's correct. But they are averaging about 2.5 calls a day.
But my comment is the money that we cut out of the budget for the ambulance was for that position. And right now, somebody's volunteering to do the paperwork. So again, you can't volunteer. He works full-time, the volunteer. So it's something to keep in mind.
I thought we gave him, we included an amount.
We did.
We took.
A separate line item.
What did we take, 30,000? What was it?
No, $24,000 out of that fund wages, but that didn't affect.
That's right.
That was a different line item.
That
we never touched the 12.
The compliance officer.
Right, that was a totally different line item.
And what was the other one that was taken out there? Two separate parts taken out. Do you remember?
The wage line.
The wage line, what was the second one?
Probably the FICA Med, you had it reduced.
Yeah, we reduced that.
I didn't bring that one from me. Okay.
But this was just data entry, so, and there's another person that.
These are calls?
It's not the.
Yeah, it's really not a great report.
The guy hasn't done it yet.
Right.
You all set with that?
Yeah, I'm all set with that.
Did we finish the minutes? Did we?
Yeah.
Did we finish the minutes? Okay. Sorry.
All right, now we have some appointments to make. Agricultural Commission and Conservation Commission.
I'll just want to read. Top two.
These are reappointments, yeah?
Yeah, there's two conservation, three ag commission.
Okay. Get a letter from Matt Cobb. Dear Select Board, the Agriculture Commission has three terms coming up this year. Voting members, Don DiMaggio of North Road, and Daryl, how do you say that?
Nefranowicz.
Of Brown Road, and an alternate, Ken Madden of Chester Road. All three members have indicated their desire to stay in their current positions for another term. Mr. DiMaggio has been an active member since Commission's inception and has been active in both the farmers market and lecture series. And Mr.
Nefranowicz.
N.
Yeah, I know.
It took me about 10 years.
Has been a very active participant since joining the commission and has taken a leading role in the farmers market. Mr. Madden has also been an active alternate and has been instrumental in our efforts to get the antique barn tax program back up and running. At our last meeting on February 2nd, the commission voted unanimously to recommend the reappointments of all three. All three terms would run till 2026.
You need a motion?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll make a motion to accept this or appoint the three people that Mr. Cobb recommended.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Russ.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Man, it's nice to have people coming forward.
Want to join.
Absolutely, I guess.
Well, keep passing. Brian wants to go on.
Yeah. All right. I also have a letter here from the Conservation Commission. Dear Board of Selectmen, Chairman Brian Brock, I'm forwarding a letter of interest from Ron Lavender. Is that it? Lavender. Who is interested in being an alternate on the Candy Conservation Commission. Please approve this letter of intent. In addition, April Holmes of 466 High Street has submitted a letter of interest to be an alternate. Please accept her letter of interest as well. So we have two individuals.
You want a motion for that? I'll make a motion for the two individuals that Judy Lindsay recommended for the Conservation Commission.
Second.
All in favor?
Russ.
Sue.
Boyd. Brian. Thank you.
They're doing something right, getting people to volunteer to.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of, good.
I like your pen, boy. It's nice and dark.
Is that one of them smooth ones?
Ah, it's nice and dark, though. Is it a Pilot or something?
Same one.
Very good.
Pilot.
One of these?
Yeah, but sometimes you get a fine tip.
Yeah, he's got a
nice, I got a fine tip. I don't like the fine tip.
You do?
No.
See, I like the medium tip.
Yeah.
But you can't tell by looking at the
fine. No, I don't. Yeah.
Thank you, ladies. You know, this is a commercial for
pens. Oh, yeah.
Pen commercial, yeah.
Staples is paying us.
All right, on to old business. I believe this is Boyd's request in response to the allegations made by Mrs. Coffin regarding tax assessments of properties owned by the select board members.
Well, I didn't know what to make of that comment made by Mrs. Coffin at the conclusion of our last meeting. So when I got home, I thought about it quite a bit. And she read a statement to the board that was critical of certain board members with respect to their relationship to the budget committee, but she concluded her statement with this paragraph, and it says, "Lastly, I'm asking each of you to make each of the board members of the board of selectmen to make any necessary corrections or updates on your property assessments. I'm not pointing the finger at any one person. It is a simple request to be sure your assessments are accurate and true, and that you are unquestionable for paying your share of the town tax burden. I will be requesting copies of your property tax assessments on or before April 15, 2023, to simply dismiss talk in some town." Well, I took that as a serious accusation that either this board, the entire board, or members of this board are guilty of some form of corruption, okay? I mean, and I talked to Andrea about that, and I said, you know what, we should look into this thing, and we should get a little bit of daylight on this thing. So I asked our town assessor to conduct some kind of an audit of there's 15 properties involved with all the members of the Board of Selectmen. Some people have more than one pet tax. Mm-hmm. So he looked at each of the 15 properties owned by this board, and he concluded that there, since the latest revaluation in 2019, at which time it is assumed that the properties were correctly assessed, that there were a couple of administrative entries made on the tax cards to either reflect, Selectman Moran got a building permit, so that was on his tax card, and then Sue corrected a land adjustment factor, and there was one other one on modifying the ownership record. So I think that pretty much vindicated this board. And I sent this information back to this board, and I said, you know what? I don't see any corruption here. I don't see I don't even see any smoke here. There's no fire. So I just wanted this matter to be laid to rest, that we have taken a look at this thing, and we're confident that our assessments are correct as they stand.
Okay. Joe, I know you just came in, but we've already had the public hearing on the Keno, and there was no discussion, so you can hang out.
Yeah.
Okay,
Joe.
Am I late?
No.
Oh, we started at 6:30 instead of 7. I'm sorry. We should have
started
that a little bit better.
That's
right. We had the meeting.
Okay.
What's the requirements?
Everything's good for the wine.
It's all good, Joe.
Yeah. It's all good.
Thank
yep.
Thank you.
See you in March.
Good luck, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All
right.
The only comment I want to make to get back to the assessment thing is, and I didn't realize it, I think she was talking about the total assessment, not the landlines or anything else. And
we understand that.
Well, yeah. I said the selectmen let the assessor come in their house, and I was wrong. I guess some people don't. And I think that's where she's thinking. And it's not just her. There's been a couple of people who have just made comments. And that's why I think if I were this board, I would let the assessor come into our homes, get rid of that whole thing, if that's a problem for them. I already talked to Boyd about, I mean, they come in mine, so they come in all of my parts of my property. So I think, because someone else made a comment on this, and it was not the bookkeeping or the lot lines or anything else that they were addressing. And unfortunately, I think that Brenda will say what other people are thinking. You know what I mean? How there's usually one person who sometimes has the courage to speak up and say something. And she didn't accuse anybody, because I read that again. She didn't accuse anybody. Her thought was just that should be done. And I don't have a problem with it. I'll agree to it if Steve wants to come in.
I'll say it's a two-edged sword. They don't come in, they can turn around and look in your house and turn around and think, well, they got this. It could be assessed over, not necessarily under. So, I mean, it's the assessors that do the job at that point.
I think some people might say because of the position, they might not do that. Well, I'm not sure. I'm not saying that's accurate. Again, I don't care. I let them in. They can look at everything. He can come back in, or she or whoever it is, look at everything again and put this thing to bed. It keeps coming up. Every once in a while it comes up, and it bothers me. So I just think...
I don't know, I've never heard anybody ask.
Yeah, we had that request a couple of years ago. Remember, they wanted copies of all the...
Well, I took it as kind of a threat to us.
No.
When she said, I will be requesting copies of your property tax assessments.
You can go online.
She can get that anytime she wants. Right.
To simply dismiss talk. Some talk in town. Well,
yeah,
that's how I thought it. So I just wanted to.
And I say, if we have nothing to hide, don't be offended.
I got nothing to hide.
Don't be offended.
Just give me a warning before you come to my house.
You said that the dishes, yeah, okay.
Clean up the dishes.
But
you know?
I mean, everybody can do what they want. I am more than willing.
Just better let us know, because they won't come at the wrong part of the day and get shot. Yeah. Know, right.
But the selectmen have no duty to allow people into their house. Because they're selected. That's their right.
Yeah, I'm not saying one way or the other. Yeah.
I let people read anything they want into anything.
But you know, Russ, you brought up a good point. The selectmen could stand out there and think that you got 10 bathrooms in there, right?
Yeah. The one year we weren't home, they added a bathroom to us. But I'm saying we weren't home. I mean, it was our fault. But I came in, they corrected it. They came down and looked. We just...
Well, it wasn't your fault. You were gone.
That's not
your fault. So
we did not let them in.
Well...
All right, that's all I have to say.
That's his fault. Yeah. So we'll put that to bed for now.
Yeah.
But tell him they can redo mine.
Okay.
I have no problem.
Right, we're going to be, when's the next reassessment?
Next year.
Next year. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's.
I have time to clean the place.
Yeah. Trying to do the dishes for you. Yeah.
And our other business, I think this is Sue. Put this on.
Oh.
Board of Selectmen, Planning Board, Information, Relationship, and Representation?
Yes. First of all, I think probably, I don't know a lot. If I don't read the minutes, I don't know what's going on with the Planning Board. And I don't know as we're ever surveyed or asked about what our thoughts are before the Planning Board makes a decision. And that's, I guess, where the representation comes in. I mean, is that something, Brian, you can do and maybe get a feel for what the board wants so that it's not a private vote?
A lot of the decisions the Planning Board made has nothing to do with the will of the Board of Selectmen. The Planning Board is governed by a whole set of rules.
So is the Budget Committee.
Yeah, on conducting there, but I mean, as far as what procedurally we have to do in our conduct and our decision making. Obviously, if there's a road or something that may be part of a subdivision and the board has some sort of concern because they have internal knowledge of that area or something, that's different.
How would we have knowledge of it if we weren't reading the minutes?
Well, Crowley Road is a good example. Before that came to a public hearing, this board took a position on that and instructed Brian on how to vote. And he voted.
Yeah, that's the only time that we've ever
done
exactly
that
I know of.
That's the
only one. I thought, as with the Budget Committee, you're supposed to find out what the board, their thoughts on it, and
sure,
at least represent that. Because you're representing the Board of Selectmen, is what I understand, on that committee.
That's correct.
It's not It's not one person.
Right.
You're representing the board. So if we don't know, if we don't know what decisions are being made, how can you represent the board? So I guess that's the information part and the representation part.
I don't think it's quite as clear as that, but like I say, there's a certain procedures that the planning board members and the representative have to do, and it doesn't always have anything to do with what the board of selectmen's position is. Because that may be in opposition to what I can legally do and take as a position.
Like on a site plan review, you're governed by the...
We have rights that we have to follow in the procedure.
Yeah, I understand that. I have certainly...
Well, the difference with the budget committee, what we decide here is what I have to go to the budget committee with.
Correct, because that's those two work together.
Right.
Right, and that's how you vote.
Right.
But, all right. If that's not something anybody's interested in...
I mean, you brought this up a year or two ago, Sue, when we had the same discussion.
I did?
And I don't... Yeah, you did. And I don't think it's... When you were stepped down and you said because you weren't representing the board and you questioned why isn't the selectman's rep on the planning board doing the same, you brought that up. And we had that same discussion. And I have no problem with informing the board on what's going on. I mean, usually under planning, and so we used to have planning.
We used to, say planning board,
right.
And then you said Rudy.
No, it didn't say planning board, it just said planning. And then that would be an area where you could bring it up and say.
Yeah.
When we were giving department reports, it used to say planning board, and you said Rudy didn't want it on there anymore, and we took it off.
I don't have any problem reporting what the planning board is doing.
Okay.
At all.
Sure.
And so if we feel strongly about something that's coming up, make it known to you. Not that it's going to change the whole board, but at least make it known to you. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, that's what you're there for, man.
The other thing is
Just a point of clarification. Planning board is not a department. So it wouldn't come under department reports. It would be separate planning board reports.
Right.
Do you want it separate? We used to list it
all together. Thought, just as planning, and then I could bring it up.
It should be separate because I've gone through this before, is that the planning board is nowhere near like a department.
Right.
Because it's covered under its own RSA, just as a board of selectmen. You know, the easiest way to explain this is that the board of selectmen and the planning board are the two boards in town that are directly responsible for RSAs. The departments have nothing to do with RSAs. They have to do with the board of selectmen as reports to you guys. I don't want to be picky on it, but there's so many legal things in the RSAs on planning boards that it's going to be separate and distinct between the board of selectmen and the planning board. It can't be intermingled, but if you put it in a department, it's intermingling, and it shouldn't be that.
So should the selectman's rep recuse him or herself?
No.
In that case?
No, because the RSA states that the board of selectmen has to have a representative on the planning board.
It doesn't have to be a voting representative.
It has to be a voting
representative.
One of the seven voting members is a representative of the planning board.
Okay.
I can get you a little bit more detail on their responsibilities.
I'll take your word for it.
But it's not, it doesn't specifically say that that the planning board representative has to represent what the board of selectmen feel on a particular subject. It's to have the communications back and
forth. Right, back, so at least to report here. Okay,
right.
Good.
Right.
So if that could start happening, that would be good.
No problem with that.
And then the other thing is the relationship. I feel badly, I think because we took some money out of the budget, that there was a little bit of a riff, and we had a member leave. I'm not sure if that was the real reason, but a member of the planning board decided to leave. What can we... I don't know how to fix that. We had to take some money out. We weren't picking on anybody. The police department lost a lot of money. The fire department, the ambulance. We weren't picking on anyone. And I don't know. That relationship, I think, is very tense. Maybe it's just me. I just think that relationship is very tense between this board, and I think there's some hard feelings because that money was taken out. I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
You know, when you talk about money...
Yeah.
There's always somebody is, you know, I mean, yeah. either take, you know, so what I'm saying is you just can't, you know, we make our decisions what we're doing at that time, and that's what it is.
This was an exceptionally tough year to deal with the budget. It really was.
Right.
Wicked inflation, and we had expenses that weren't on last year.
That's right, $300,000.
Right. So, I mean, it made our job 10 times tougher.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what we can do. Maybe Rudy has some ideas since he's here.
I don't think there's any great animosity building or growing.
Well, there is.
I want to put this nicely.
No, be honest. I'd rather have honest advice. Myself.
You know, Josh did quit because one of the things is he felt the Board of Selectmen were not supporting the Planning Board, and they haven't supported the Planning Board for a number of years. And that is... A feeling of a lot of the members of the Planning Board is that every year, whenever we come with our budget, it's a fight. And, you know, this year, I know there's a whole screwed up thing with the ambulance service and stuff and not getting the budget through the Budget Committee. But it's been an ongoing thing for at least the last 4 years where, you know, the Board of Selectmen didn't want to put the money in for planning. They wanted it as a warrant article. We did that once. The citizens approved it. And then every year we go through the same fight. This year it got worse because we realized that the budget was going to be tight. So we took it upon ourselves to reduce our budget by 3%, you know, trying to be proactive. To have roughly 58% of our budget cut was just too much for some of the board members to take, including Josh, and just said that, like, you know, wait a minute. We know that $8,500 is a drop in the bucket for, you know, the $300,000 that you had to get rid of, but the basic feeling was, my God, it's like, okay, we're getting nailed for 58% of our budget when we, you know, reduced it by 3% to begin with. It's like, it just seemed that there was no support from the Board of Selectmen or the Planning Board for what the Planning Board's trying to do. So that's the general feeling of the board. Yes, there is, I don't want to call it animosity.
Hurt feelings.
Disappointment.
Yes, disappointment.
It's probably the way it is because we don't feel generally from the board that we're getting the support that we need from the board. And then, of course, with other things going on with a lot of the towns folks being upset about certain things that are going on.
Well, I'm sure the pressure is, yes.
Yeah, that it's been a tough year. And so the some of the members of the board just feel like, you know, why should I bother? You know, and again, they're all, everybody on the board is a volunteer. And they all live in town, they all pay taxes, they all realize what kind of budget constraints that the town has to go through, but it's just the feeling that, the support's not there.
The one thing I'd like to add, and hopefully this year we can get it straightened out, is for Planning Board land use legal fees, outrageous. I've asked and asked that they be listed under Planning Board, and if you added those in, we did not take half for 52% of the budget at all, not even close. So once we get that under there also, you know, or split up a little bit better, so people can see, you know, what the real budget is. Because that's not, that's comes out of our town office expense, and it's not. Because I get a copy every single month. And I don't know, I guess. I think everybody lost stuff out of their budget. You know, some of us gave it willingly, some not so much. And it was disappointing to me that, I understand how you feel, but that's the way it is. I mean, I guess that's the way it is. And I just feel bad about Josh. It's like, after reading his letter, it was like, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home. And it's like, come on, you made it, you know.
He was just absolutely fed up.
No, I know. And okay.
The other thing with when you're talking about legal fees, you better put a lot of money in there, especially with what's been going on, you know, lately. I mean, we're paying legal fees right now for two appeals, one for an approval, one for a denial. So it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I'm talking about last year. I get them every month.
They're still coming through this year.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably are.
And unfortunately, with what's been going on, I see that even getting worse.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's why, you know, the amendments, the proposed amendments that we put in, hopefully will minimize that again.
The destruction? Okay. Yeah. I just felt bad because I just didn't think the maybe, you know, the relationship was great.
Good.
Okay. Thank you, Rudy.
You're welcome.
Election coverage. I've already told Andrea I will be there at the start of it, and I'll be there till 5, and then I've got to leave for a little while, but I have somebody filling in, and I'll come back if the timing, you know, works to sign.
So the election is March 14th?
Correct.
And Patrick can't do anything, right?
He can't?
Because he's running.
Right.
That's right, yep.
And it's 6 o'clock.
So I'll be there at 6.
You'll be there at 6, okay.
You'll be at 6, you'll be at 6, I'll be at 6.
I mean, if you two will be there.
I'll get somebody to cover for me
okay.
If I'm not there.
Yeah,
okay. I don't know who that will be.
Then I'll do the same thing because I'm always late with my muffins. I'm always late. It's always 6:15. So I'm not going to tell you I'm going to be there at 6.
And don't forget the chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, 6 will be. Well, that's in the evening, but yes. No, I'll get somebody to
don't get somebody to make the cookies.
No, I'll get someone to come in.
I'll let you do it like you. So.
Yeah, I'll get someone to come in.
And I did want to take an opportunity to publicly thank Todd for your service. You already know my feeling about the budget committee, but it's never been personal. And I always appreciated you on that committee.
Yeah,
that
big
committee
loss.
Thank you for serving.
Todd, you always ask the hard questions.
Yes.
The ones that
see, he'll
the
speak up. He'll speak up, and right. I respect that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, the calendar. Meet the Candidates Night is Monday, March 6th, 2023 at the Smith Library at 6:30. Next Select Board meeting is March 13th, 6:30. If you're not familiar, the board did agree at the last meeting to switch from 7 to 6:30 to start our meetings. Town election is March 14th, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Now, I thought we had a discussion last election about closing at 6, didn't we, Sue?
I think we had a discussion opening at 7.
Opening at 7?
I remember Clark.
Okay, yeah, Clark, you're right. It was opening at 7.
Yeah, because it's very long.
It's so, pretty busy at 6 o'clock.
Well, that's...
Well, it was at this time, and you know, not considering what was on the ballot. So it just came up. So we can just mention that to him again and see if after this election...
Because Clark changes that, correct? Is it up to him?
Yeah, but he... Kind of took a consensus from the board to see if he wanted to do that.
So it's going to open at 6?
It's still at 6 right now. Yeah. We haven't changed.
Well, I'd leave it at 6.
Now, years ago, when we did go to 6, it's because we used to get like 200 people that first hour.
Mm-hmm. You get 50 that first hour.
You know? So.
Yeah.
I'm always late, so like I said.
Because it catered to the people going to work. They could leave a little bit early and stop their elected and not worry about trying to get in the rush at 5:30.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it. I don't have any problem.
Yeah.
All right. So
can I ask one question about Meet the Candidates? Why are they doing that? I don't think any of the offices
I got to check with Heidi because it's on the calendar, but she said if they weren't running, if it was uncontested, she wasn't going to have Meet the Candidates.
Contested,
I know, no
that?
One's contested.
That's
so.
Right.
Yeah, I have to email.
Yeah, lucky they get people. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm here.
I was going to say, don't scare them away by making them go to the back.
All right, so you'll verify that.
Thanks, Andrea.
I'd be willing to, if you find out that it is, I'd be willing to go there if people have questions on the budget or what have you, or the fire.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Do you want me to ask, I already talked to some of you, Sue knows about this, about making it the Selectman's Office, Building Department, Finance, a 4-day work week.
Yeah.
What now?
A 4-day work week for the Building, Finance, Selectman's Office.
That ought to be an agenda item, not other
business. Well, I'm bringing it up so you can...
Think about it.
You can think
you.
About it, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good night,
Pat.
Good night. Yeah, she asked if she put it on. I said, just to let everybody know, so we can discuss it later.
And while we're discussing that, why don't we discuss going to a bi-weekly payroll, too? and buy.
Oh, I would love that. I keep saying there's got to be a way.
It costs us twice as much to process our payroll in this town than it does any other place in America. We pay every week. We pay our payables every week. There's no place in the world that pays you every
month,
week.
Yeah.
And that would cut your processing and your everything in half.
Yep. Okay. You can put it on the next agenda.
But that's something good to think about. Are you thinking about closing Friday or Monday?
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, because Friday is the day that's not typically.
It's always a Monday.
You'd be open till 5 and
we would extend, everyone would extend their hours accordingly. Like I would have four 10-hour days. And then Amy and Linda would do like 8-hour days for 8 hours.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be a mixed bag because people have different
hours. It's like that now. Right. Yeah. It's just extending them. So
if we do the expenses, I think if we change that, the school, because that big portion comes out that they know when to submit it or what have you.
Yeah, they only pay every 2 weeks, the school.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, I know what you're saying. When it's due,
that's all.
Public input. Is there any public input? Rudy.
I just want to think from the planning board, just so that you know, the planning board's been has received a $25,000 grant for the Housing Opportunities Planning Program. There's three sections in the whole thing. One of them, the first one that we got, was for the needs analysis and planning grants. What that is going to actually do is take a look at the housing section in the master plan and see what the people, the citizens of Candia, really want to do with housing. And part of it's going to be a lot of input from housing. I think it's very timely, especially with the stuff that's been going on lately with a lot of our conditional use permit housing and what's coming down from Concord on requirements for what towns are going to have to do for housing, whether it be affordable or workforce housing. So it'll give us some good solid data as our first.
You need $25,000 to conduct a poll in this town?
No.
No, it represents about 8 different features.
The grant work, and there's a lot of work involved with what's going on.
So you're going to be doing that?
What's that?
That's in the works now?
Yeah, Southern New Hampshire Planning is going to be the consultant on that and do the groundwork on it.
They get the grant for us.
Okay.
I have two questions. First of all, can you tell me when they're doing the workhouse or workforce, whatever you want to call it, housing, do they count all the in-law apartments? Because I was told that Candia satisfies the old percent that you needed to have. Because if you count all the in-law apartments.
Oh, for 55 older.
That too, but I mean in people's homes, if you count all of that we would make our quota. Is that accurate or not?
Well, it used to be, but with the changes that came from the legislature, things are different. So this is going to give us that information because it will do a survey of the existing housing stock that we have in Candia, you know, all of the information that goes along with that. And you also have to remember that there's two different and distinct animals. One is workforce housing.
Right.
One is affordable housing.
So they don't match.
They're totally different. Workforce housing, the way that we're looking at the proposed zoning amendment, is a house, let me see, it's based on the income level of the median income for a family of four living in the Western Rockingham HUD district.
Okay.
The median income for a family of four in Candia, according to HUD, is $126,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that, you know, basically 30% of that can be put towards housing.
Okay.
So that's one aspect of that we'll be looking at in this whole aspect of these three programs that are coming through here. The other one on affordability is based on a certain percentage above the poverty level in the area. Okay. So there's like I said before, there's two different and distinct animals now. Maybe we're okay with the workforce housing, maybe we're not, we'll find out. Maybe we're okay with the affordable housing, maybe we're not, and that's going to be a totally separate animal. It's not as clear cut as it used to be.
There's
more legislation in Concord that we're following every day because we don't want to get caught off guard again did with this workforce housing one.
And the second question is, I saw the memo that you and Brian sent out about the SIP. How are we going to pay for that?
We encumbered that money.
Yeah.
We started that.
Oh, okay. So that's going to take care of that part. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The only thing major that we have left to do is the impact fees, which we wanted to do over the course of the next.
And that's what the 8,100 is for.
85. Oh, okay. 85.
85, whatever.
You're cutting it again, Joe.
I'm trying. All right, thank you, Rudy. I was curious about that.
No, you're welcome. I'm more than happy to try to explain any of the stuff.
Now, is Todd running for something, or are you just...
Okay. No, I have public input.
Oh, you didn't put your hand up.
Well, Rudy went up first.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting my turn.
You got to run right up here.
Yeah, well, Todd Keating, North Road. I just wanted to come down. I listened to your meeting minutes from your 125 meeting, and you guys had a little bit of a field day with the budget committee. So I'm not running for the budget committee anymore, so I feel totally comfortable coming down here and kind of hoping to set you guys straight a little bit of what you said and what actually transpired. And I can give it to you from my position of a budget committee member. Russ kind of opened the meeting and gave you a very high level summary of how we came to the budget of 3%. And it came across as we were very quick to judge, very quick to come up with that number. There was no analyzing anything, and it was an arbitrary number, and we threw it against the wall, and it stuck. And I categorically think that was totally misrepresentative of our process. That was one meeting that we landed on that number. That was a culmination of the budget committee process through a couple months. So to get that summary was disheartening to be truthful, because Russ sat through all those meetings, and the opinions that he gave totally, I felt, misrepresented me and my cohorts. You guys talk about inflation all the time. It is like the excuse of why the budget is so high, and Russ mentioned it probably 20 times through our budget meeting process. In 2020, your budget was $2,970,795. In 2023, we knocked you down, but it's $3,612,517. Your budget up in that time frame is $641,722, or 21.6% in those years. The inflation rates of those years: in 2020, inflation was 1.4%. In 2021, it was 7. In 2022, it was 6.5. Your budget was up 21.6. So you can't look at inflation in a silo of 1 year and then just use it as an excuse that a lot of you guys, as you did. You stated a couple of times that the budget committee, and I took it as me personally, was misinformed and wrong. And I can tell you in total confidence that I'm not misinformed. If I don't agree with you, that doesn't make me misinformed. It just makes us disagree, and that's totally fine. Brian, you actually said that you didn't think that we invested much time, and I just want to tell you that, for me personally, I did. So I took that as a little bit of a shot. Number two, Selectman Dan said, and I quote, "I do not like the budget committee." That wasn't a favorable comment to say in your meeting about us when he's the representative for the budget committee. So that one kind of hit a little hard. Then you guys talked about rescinding the budget committee, which I was actually rooting for you guys to get 3-2 so that you would put it on the Warren article. Because in 2020, it was a Warren article. It was somebody's bright idea.
That was my idea.
I was just kidding.
I know, it was
you can say it. It was my idea.
It was Brian's, and the vote was, you got 206 people to agree with you, and you got 681 people to disagree with you. So 76.7% of the voters disagreed with you. So I found it relatively comical that your answer to the budget committee was to get rid of us when you already tried it, and it failed miserably. As my 13-year-old daughter would tell me, Dad, they were trying to cancel you. And then Boyd said, and I quote, it would look pretty petty and vindictive this year. And I want to tell you, I agree with you. It looked petty and vindictive. The next comment, my name was mentioned so many times that I'm trying to get through them all. Selectman Young asked, who voted no on Article 15? And that's the $300,000 capital improvement fund. And the rhetoric around the table was, it was Todd. And Todd's name was stated. I'm not going to tell you who voted no, but it wasn't me. And then somebody said, it's hard to hear all your audio. Somebody said, it wasn't Todd. And they said, oh, shocker, which I thought was pretty funny.
I don't use that word, so it wasn't me.
It wasn't you. No, I know who it was, but it wasn't you. Then it was asked if the budget committee members run on the, quote, cut, cut, cut platform. And then Selectman Young said, I don't believe Todd ran on that. Again, my name being mentioned.
That was a compliment.
I know. I understand that. But I can tell you that I didn't run on a platform of cut, cut, cut. I ran on a platform of reviewing your budget, reviewing dollar analytics, trends, revenue to expenditure relationships, and the like. So I didn't. And the last my last point is, and I brought this up many times to Andrea and to Russ during the process, is when you look at your budget, the first thing that I looked at is what 2022 line matched 2023 line directly. And nothing was ever done about that. So I just want to give you one stat that I found extremely fascinating. In 2023, there are 335 line items to your budget. In 2023, 207 of those line items are the exact same number requested as they were in 2022. That 61% of your budget was, as I like to call it, copy and pasted. So I leave you with my last comment, that alone tells you that you need the budget committee. You need somebody to review your budget because you're copying and pasting year over year over year. But it's not my job anymore, so the next person can review your budget.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Yes, yeah. Todd.
That's a
thank
good,
you
that's,
for...
That's,
well done.
Well.
Anybody else?
No, I appreciate... I'll tell you, this is a big loss, Todd. I'm very... Well, you know how I feel about it. I'm devastated, but...
Move to adjourn?
Yep.
Second.
All in favor?
So, Ford.
Right.
Well, yeah.